friends, I'm turning tonight for our instructions to Titus chapter 2. And I'll be reading verse 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And our title for this evening is Be Zealous for the Lord. Be Zealous for the Lord. And this is what we read from Titus chapter 2. I'm sure you remember that for the past few weeks we have been learning about cultivating the various virtues in the scriptures. We started with godliness, we came to patience, and as we learn, we know how we are blessed when we cultivate these virtues. We know the benefits and the power behind them. So today we come to one of the virtues, and that is zeal, Christian zeal. And this is a subject that many people in other religions, even in some in our churches, we try to misunderstand. Some people are even ashamed to be seen as being zealous for the Lord. And really, it is sad that when people see you being zealous for the Lord's work, they think you are either crazy or you don't have anything to do. Even Apostle Paul, when he was that zealous, we saw that Festus said to him, "You are out of your mind," because of his zeal for the Lord's work. And he said his great learning is driving him insane. Acts chapter 26, verse 24. And we see it in our lives, even in your own family. When you are so zealous for the Lord's work, people think there's something wrong with you. And it's very, very sad. Yet, we have so many men who are so zealous in things pertaining to this world, which is nothing. But when it comes to the work of the Lord, when you are zealous, people think there's something wrong with you. So this is the subject that we need to really go through it and then learn a lot about it and see how it helps us in our work with the Lord. Now, if you look at the verse properly, where the verse 14, Apostle Paul is saying that Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from the wickedness and to purify us for himself, a people of his own, and zealous or eager to do what is good. And what is good? What is better than doing the work of God? And let us also remember that our Lord said the same thing to the church in the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. He said, "Be zealous or be earnest and repent." So you see, this zeal, this Christian zeal, is such a serious thing. It's a command. And anything that is a command, we have to obey. We have to pray that we'll be able to cultivate these things in our life. And sadly, these things are absent in our churches today, especially in our Reformed and evangelistic churches circles. Zeal is absent now, and this is why the charismatics and so on, they are thriving. Especially when you go to the cults, the JWs, the Mormons, the Muslims, they are very zealous. The SDA, very, very zealous for the Lord's work. What about us? We who know the truth. How zealous are we? How do we take God's way? We'll learn very, very soon the number of people who were zealous for God's work in the scriptures and how God mightily used them to do wonderful things. And If we look at the zeal of the apostles as compared to ours, it's very, very, very sad. There's a vast difference between the apostles and ours. Between even our Puritans, the reformers, their zeal, that they were being prepared to die for the work of the Lord. If you compare to our days, there's a very, very vast difference. Even we claim to be from the reformers, from the Puritans, and sadly, we are not as zealous as they are. So my object this evening is to show what it means to be zealous, and then we'll take a few examples in the scriptures to see the mighty business that the Lord has done to churches, and we will see the benefits to our time, the churches, and even to mankind as well. You remember there was an apostle in the Bible who was called Zealot. That apostle was Simon, not Simon Peter. There's another Simon who was nicknamed Zealot. And that was because of his zeal for the faith. He was nicknamed Zealot. If you can read from all the Gospels, Matthew 10 verse 4, Mark 3 verse 18, Luke 6 verse 15, as well as in Acts chapter 1 verse 13. So this man who was nicknamed Zealot, it indicates that he was zealous for the... He was so devoted to the Jewish faith. And we must learn examples from such a person. Like I said earlier on, we have zealous men in this world, zealous men and women who are so... who have exhibited so many enthusiastic efforts, devotions to some causes in this world. Like I said, all these causes lead to nothing as compared to being zealous for the work of God. Men of this world are zealous for their chosen careers. We see people who do anything, everything that it takes for them to achieve their careers or to defend a cause in this world. We have so many men that if you want to mention their names, we won't have time for that. There are people who are zealous for their physical body. There are people who are so zealous about how they appear. They will spend so much money and effort and time about their physical appearance. And yet all these things leads to nothing. It's in vain. There's nothing that can be gained from that. It can never bring them anything as compared to the work of the Lord. So because of this, the work of the Lord should dominate all our lives, as Apostle Paul is saying here. Because of what he has done for us, he died to save us. He wants a people who will be zealous for God's work. So when you claim to be saved, when you say you are a true Christian, this zeal must be seen in your life as to how you attend to church, how God's work is in your heart, how serious you are when it comes to God's work. That's what he's talking about here. And these things, there are things that will lead you to his glory. And there are so many benefits, there are so many things that the Lord will do if you do that as a church and even as individuals, which we are going to learn tonight. So when we talk about Christian zeal, what it is? Zeal in Christianity is a burning desire to please God. It's a burning, you are inflamed to please God, to do his will, and to advance his glory in this world in every possible way. Because that is what you have been created for, especially when you have been saved. You are here to make sure that his work is advanced in this world. So friends, ask yourself, how zealous are you? When is even on Sunday morning, how zealous are you to come to God's house? How serious it is for you to come to God's house? How are you involved in God's work? What are you doing to show that you really care for what the Lord has done for you? That is Christian zeal. And like I said, the primary goal of every Christian is to be zealous for the work of our Heavenly Father, because we were created for that purpose. That is why we see in Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, when God created Adam and Eve, and he told Adam to live in the garden and tend the garden. So we are also created to do the work of God, and we must be zealous for his work, because anything that is done for God must be done well. You don't have to do it halfway. You do it with your whole heart, and like something that is very serious to you than anything in this world. That is what Apostle Paul is talking about here. Our Lord and Savior, before he came into this world, it was prophesied about him that the zeal of God's house will consume him. This is what we read in Psalm 69, when he said, "The zeal for God's house has consumed him," in his own words, "has eaten me up," like has consumed him, has taken total control of his life. And he will endure the insult of those who insult or make fun of God. That was a prophecy about our Lord and Savior concerning zeal when he comes. And this prophecy was fulfilled in John chapter 2 verse 13, when in the temple of Jerusalem, we all know that story, after the feast of Passover, when he saw people who were trading in God's house, and how he got angry and started to beat them and sack them from the house. And what did he tell them? He said, "Don't make my father's house a house of merchandise." See, they were trading, and he was so zealous that he had to drive them out of the house, because they were making the house of prayer into a house of merchandise. And he was very, very angry. And in verse 17, that's where the apostles, the disciples, remembered that it was prophesied of him. In verse 17, they said, they remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." So that was our Lord and Savior. Before he came, there was this prophecy that the zeal of God's house has eaten him. And we saw it. He spent his entire life about the word of God, nothing than the service of God. Here he told them that, don't they know that he has to attend to his father's work? In Luke chapter 2 verse 41 to 49, when he went with his parents to the Passover, and then later on when they were going, he was left behind in Jerusalem. They were looking for him. In the end, they found him in the temple when he was with the teachers and listening to them and questioning them. So when the parents were angry and they were asking, they were very, very anxious. What did he tell them? He said, "Why did you seek me? Don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" Don't you know? He was telling his parents that this is why I've come to this world, and I must be zealous for the work that the Lord has entrusted in my hand. And this is an example for us. If Christ was zealous, what about us? Ask yourself, am I as zealous as Christ? Am I as zealous as Apostle Paul? Or can you compare yourself to people like Spurgeon, the Puritans, and the Reformers, how they were even prepared to die to spread the gospel? Are you like that? So you have to think about this seriously, that your father's business is the reason why you are in this world. And you must be zealous about the growth of your father's business. You must be zealous about soul winning. You must be zealous about children's work. Everything that is related to God's work, you must be zealous about it. Otherwise, we are not fulfilling the purpose for which we are in this world. So we who are saved, that's what Paul was saying, that those who have been saved, we must be zealous for God's work. What did God tell us when he was leaving? In Matthew chapter 10 verse 6, he said we should go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to persuade people to repent and to reconcile unto God. And in Luke chapter 15 verse 7, he says that there will be joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 just persons who need no repentance. So you see, we must be zealous that souls will be saved. Because here we are seeing that when a sinner turns to God, angels in heaven rejoice. What else can you do for angels to rejoice? Just this morning I was talking to one of our church members, and he was talking about the gospel this morning, and he was wondering how many souls that he had brought to know God. And I was telling her, all we need to do is to preach the true gospel to people. Any opportunity you get, preach the true gospel to people. It is the work of God to empower the gospel. It might not even be in your lifetime. You might not even see them. But God has promised that when we preach the true gospel to people, it has the power to change their hearts, for them to repent and to be righteous. So what we need to do is to make sure that any opportunity we get, we speak the gospel to people. It is our work. We are saved to help others to be saved. And without zeal, we can never do this. If you don't take God's work seriously, we can never do this. So you must be zealous for the work of God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10 to 11, we read that in the morning. We are told that we should not be lazy, but we should be fervent, the same as eager or zealous in spirit in serving the Lord. When you go to other versions, it says that therefore do not grow slack or be lazy in zeal. Then it goes on, be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord with all your might. That is what we are supposed to do. We should serve the Lord with all our might. In every gift that He has given us, we should use it for the work of the Lord. God Himself was zealous. God Himself was zealous, and that's why He sent His Son to come and die for us. It was out of zeal that we are the prime creatures of His. And because we lost our state, He sent His Son to come and die for us. And this is because of His zeal. So God Himself was zealous. He was zealous concerning us, concerning mankind. And we'll see that very, very, very soon. First, I'm saying that the zeal of God brought Christ into this world. Otherwise, He would never send His Son to come and die for us so that we will be saved. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is evident in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. It said, for listen to it very well, say, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward. And then look at what He said. Even forever. He said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this prophecy. The prophecy of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It happened because of the zeal of God. Because He added, said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see that God Himself was zealous for mankind, and that's why He sent His Son to come and save us. So the zeal of God brought our Lord and Savior into this world to come and redeem us from our sins. And because of that, we were given the second chance. When we became enemies of Him, we were given the second chance to repent and to return unto Him. And it was His zeal that enabled us to amend our relationship with our Maker. Another zeal that we see about God is in 2 Kings chapter 19. It is the zeal of God that delivered the people of Israel from the king of Assyria when they came to seize them. The officers of that king, Sennacherib, they came and they were insulting and blaspheming against Jerusalem, against God. And King Hezekiah, he sent messages to Isaiah to consult the Lord regarding this siege by the people of Assyria. And what happened in that war? The king and his officers were all killed by the angel of the Lord. And according to the Bible, he returned home disgraced, and he died miserably. Isaiah chapter 3, from the 37, from verse 21, 2 Kings 19, 20 and 30. So, friends, as a church and as individuals, there's no problem that we will go through that if we are zealous for God, he will not see us through. And a typical example is this. They had been besieged by this army. They had no hope. But because of the zeal of God, when Hezekiah turned to Isaiah to ask for God's help, these people were all condemned by the angels. And the same God who saved them, he will also reciprocate or accept or reward us for our zeal if we are zealous about his way. And we also see in the scriptures where God establishes covenant with people who are zealous. When we say a covenant, I'm sure we all know what a covenant is. A covenant is stronger than just a contract. A contract can be broken. A covenant can never be broken. And God establishes covenant with certain people because of their zeal. When we go to Numbers chapter 35, verse 12 to 13, we can't turn there, but you can note it down and later on you read. Phinehas, God bestowed his covenant on this man, and he said, all him and his descendants will have a covenant of lasting priesthood. They will be the priests all their life. Why? Because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Because of his zeal, God made this covenant. And the covenant was never, never, never. God established the covenant of peace and perpetual priesthood. They were coming to be the priests forever and ever. And he said he will establish his covenant permanently in his life. And the same with us. God will establish his covenant with us if we are zealous for his work. The same God who did it in those days is the same God that we have today. And he will establish his covenant with us if we are zealous about his work. We can talk about David, our own man, David, how he was also zealous for the Lord's work, and how he thought of building a house for God, even though because of certain things he didn't build it. He was zealous for God's work. If you read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 7, you see that he was very zealous for God. So he wanted to build a house for God. But for some reason, God said he was not the one going to build the house. But still, he established his covenant with him. He said, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my home, for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. This is the covenant that God was signing with David because of his zeal. And I will be, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and women, the blows of sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established together. This was the covenant that God made with David because of his zeal. So friends, being zealous for God's work has so many blessings, and God can use it powerfully. And when God said this, because he knows the power of darkness, he put a seal on the covenant so that it can never be tempered with by the enemy of our soul. So the same thing with us. When we are zealous in God's work, God will establish his covenant with us, and it will never be broken. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 20-22, he said, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David. So he's saying that if you can break the covenant, we know how we have the day, we have the night, and the seasons forever and ever. If you can break that chain, then you can break the covenant between him and David. This is what we are talking about. Zeal. Because David was zealous. He said, if you can break the night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne. It is then my covenant. Then that my covenant can be broken. And who can change that? He is telling you that his covenant can never be broken because nobody can change day and night and season. It will go on forever and ever until Christ comes. So he's saying that because of his zeal, he will establish that covenant. So now we know that the secret of the success of David is because of his zeal. So if we know that, then why can't we also have pray for that zeal, to cultivate that zeal, that the Lord will also put a seal on the covenant that he will have with us. And was that covenant established? Did it come to pass? Yes. Because it was fully established in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came from the line of David. So the covenant that God signed with David has come to pass. Christ has come from the line of David, and he has come to reign forever and ever from the lineage of David. And in our passage, remember, Apostle Paul was saying that we should remember that Christ sacrificed himself for us. And then he atoned on the cross of Calvary that he will redeem us from the power of sin, and then to keep us as a people for himself. And then for what? Zealous for good works. That's what he's saying. You were saved to be zealous for good works. Like I explained earlier on, good works are the works of God. There's none other thing that is good in this world than to serve the Lord with your whole heart and with your whole might. So if we want to be Christ's special people, then we must be zealous for the work of our Heavenly Father in heaven. If you don't want the death on Christ to go in vain, then we must be zealous for God's work. Otherwise, his work on the cross of Calvary will be in vain. If we that are saved, if we are not zealous for his work, then his death on the cross of Calvary will be in vain. There are more examples of people that God who were zealous and God used them in the Bible. We can talk of Gideon, who the Lord used to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites in Judges chapter 6, 11 to 16. We all know of how God used Gideon mightily because he was zealous for his work. Barak, who was also instrumental in the defeat of Jabin, the king of Canaan, how God also used him to defeat their enemies. We can talk about Samson. We know how God utilized Samson to subdue the Philistines. It's all because of their zeal for God. And we have already talked about David, how he was able to deal with Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, and how the Lord used him to destroy this man. It's all because of his zeal. And all these people, they utilize their faith to be zealous for the Lord and his way. So we must emulate them. Those things are not in the Bible for nothing. They are there for us to emulate. And with all the other commandments in the Bible, it is for our good. Whatever God set us to do is for our good. And how do we obtain it? By prayer. We pray that we'll be able to cultivate this zeal in our hearts. And you know all these people, Samson, Barak, Gideon, and the rest, they are all named in the hills of faith in Hebrews. You see that their names are there. From that time that we can come and also because of their zeal. So the Lord will also use us in the same way if we are prepared to seek for this zeal and to do his work. And as I've already said, we must be prepared to suffer, because if we want to be zealous for God's work, we will suffer. Christ is a typical example for us. He suffered a lot because of us. And eventually, he even died on the cross of Calvary. He was zealous for his people. So, we must also remember that we were called as a chosen people to follow the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 talk about that. So, if Christ suffered for his zeal for the Lord, we must also be prepared to suffer for the zeal of the Lord. We don't just believe and say that I believed the Lord. If you have believed, then you must also suffer for him. And like I'm saying, it is not enough to say that you believe in Jesus Christ. But you have to also follow him. His footsteps. He was zealous in all the work that he came to do, and because that he suffered. And we have to follow him in his way. We don't just believe and then relax. We believe and work, as he also did to us. There will be persecution. All godly people have been persecuted. There will be persecution, one way or the other, once you are zealous for the Lord. Because the Bible says everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. So we should never be discouraged when even we suffer for the sake of Christ. We should diligently be zealous about God's work. And all these blessings and the covenant that we are seeing will be ours. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And we should know that he said, blessed are us, people who suffer for Christ. You are blessed if you suffer for righteousness' sake, or you commit your entire life unto God and you suffer. It is a blessing. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, and see some blessings there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. If you are suffering for being zealous for God, happy are you. It is a blessing unto you. So now, as we come to conclusion, let me show you why it is good for a person to be zealous. And like I've already said, it is certain that God never gave any commandment to a man or a woman which was not in their own interest. God would never tell us to do something which is not in our own interest. And it is true with all the instructions that God has given. So, to be zealous is good for the Christian. Why is it good for the Christian? We all know that exercise is good for our health, don't we? We are always encouraged to exercise for our health, bodily exercise, and we must be regular in doing this. And if bodily exercise is good for our health, in the same way, being zealous for God's work is also good for your soul. So, to be zealous is a very, very good virtue for the soul of the Christian. In the same way as exercise is good for the physical body and for our health. So we must know that we do this for the glory of God, and God will bless us in all these things. So working, laboring, and striving to expand the knowledge of Jesus Christ is a blessing, which we must do. Friends, are you doing it? Do you want to do it? Are you interested in doing God's work? It's not enough to just come and sit in church and go home and that is it. You must be zealous for his way, because that is why you are saved. You are saved to serve the Lord. It is also, as we have said, as it is good for the physical body, it is also, in general sense, is good for the church. When men are zealous in the church will grow both numerically and spiritually, if men are zealous for. And the other way around, if men are not zealous, the church cannot grow. If we all come and sit here and go back home and come again and sit here and go back home, the church will never grow. We must make sure that we are zealous for God's will. So nothing is effective in keeping our Christian life alive as being zealous for the Lord's work. There's nothing that we can do more than to be zealous for God's work. This is where the church will grow. We will grow, and the church will grow, and God will be glorified, and there will be blessings that follow. So, friends, we can see that zeal is good for ourselves, it's good for our church, it's also good for mankind as a whole. If there were no missionaries, how would people hear the word of God? And if the missionaries were not also zealous, how would they travel to areas where there are persecutions? People would leave their homes and never to return. That is zeal. They have a zeal for God's work. So they go out and spread the gospel in areas where there are persecutions and troubles and all kind of things. If it wasn't for zeal, how would people hear the word of God? So being zealous is both good for our own selves, for the church, and for the entire world. That is why the missionary work is what takes the word of God to other places. Sometimes I look at people who come from America and other areas where life is very, very good, and yet they leave those lives and come and dwell in Africa here with mosquitoes and all kinds of troubles, and yet they are prepared to live and die here. That is zeal. That is zeal for the work of the Lord. And friends, we must emulate them. We must be zealous for the God, for the work of God. So when you talk about zeal, practically, it is serving the Lord with your whole heart and letting it be as serious than anything. When it's time for come to work on Sunday morning, how zealous are you? How are you rushing to come to God? How happy are you? And when there's a work to be done, how zealous are you to do that work, that God's work will be blessed? This is zeal. This is how to be zealous for the work of God. And this is what Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of God, is telling us. Every Christian, everyone who has been saved by the death of our Lord and Savior on the cross of Calvary, must be zealous for good work. And being zealous for good works means that being zealous for God's work. My prayer is that we will all be touched, and the Lord will grant us this zeal in serving Him, all to the glory of His name.